Jim Bertel coming to you live from my home here in the plug has come loose. So let me start the recording one more time, brother. Okay, this is Dr. Jim Bertel coming to you live from a home here in Maumelle, Arkansas, and we want to welcome back Pastor Mike Smith from Country Bible Church in Brenham, Texas. And good morning, Mike.
Morning. How are you doing this morning, Dr.
Well, I tell you what, again, I was running about 78% just about 5 minutes ago, and I'm thinking, you know, Mike's going to call here shortly, and maybe it'll pick me. And I tell you, as soon as I heard your voice, it went to 108 just that fast, brother.
But you need to get that 78% up to at least 80%.
Well, when you wake up and it's Monday morning, you've heard that old thing about the Monday morning blues, haven't you?
Right.
Well, you know, what the heck? I guess that affects Christians too, but hey, not really, brother. No, I'm just glad you're back, Mike. And listen, let's take just a moment of time and let some folks rebound if necessary, and then you just close in prayer, and we'll get off and running, okay?
Okay.
All right, pal.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us another day of grace. Your provision is always more than we could ever expect or ask. Now, we pray that you'll help us to be alert this morning and that Dr. Jim and myself will be able to articulate the things that we have learned and the things that are according to your word. Pray that you'll add your blessings to the time we have together, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, Mike. Let's go back and talk about your website just briefly and your email address if someone would like to get in touch with you, and we'll move on from there.
Okay. My website is www.countrybiblechurch.us, and my email address is mike44gv@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, Mike, you're in the process of publishing a book entitled Tolerating Tyranny, and I was so impressed with it when you sent me the manuscript and I had a chance to read through it. I wanted you to come back on the, or come onto the program and talk about that book, and we're doing it one chapter at a time. We'd actually gotten through the preface and the introduction and maybe into chapter one, and I ask you to graciously consent to move on to chapter 4 because of Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7. And that's where we are right now. And so we're explaining this one verse at a time in chapter 13, and we were in verse 1 and explaining that when we concluded last week's program. So if you don't mind, let's pick up there with verse 1. And if you look at your notes down there where it says, for there is no legitimate authority except from God, why don't you pick up and move on from there, read that part of that verse, move on. We just listened to Rush Dooney last week as you were closing it out. So let's pick up and move on from there.
Okay, well, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Mm-hmm. And as I pointed out last time, that this is a general declaration regarding God's authority. He's, of course, authority over all things. And you have to go further through the next six verses to find out what the exact meaning of even what verse one is. I've heard people take verse 1 and say that's all we need to know, and we're to submit to government, and they have the idea that we should submit unconditionally. And that is not what this is talking about at all, and the further verses bear that out. And the verse 1 is, and in fact, all seven verses of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, are describing a government that is operating correctly as ministers of God. And it's a gross misapplication to try to take what is said in those verses and apply it to any government that has lost its way, that has become a minister of Satan for evil. And that's what a lot of people do. They make a wrong application. And by going through these verses, we're still in verse 1, but by going through the rest of these verses helps one get a clear idea of what our relationship with our government is. So I guess I'll start with where, excuse me, it says human laws are only valid. Is that it, Dr. Jim?
Let's see. Yes, that's right. That's what. And Mike, and before you read that, Manzini is going to talk about the duties of man. But before you do that, I'm impressed by your analysis of the first part of that verse in verse 1 of Romans 13, when you indicated that it's legitimate authority that we're to submit to, not illegitimate. So the question that I would have for you and for listening audience is, do you believe that there's any application of this verse to the present day administration in the United States? And if there is an application to that, how do you see that affecting the multitudes of us that are out here in as citizens of the United States? How is that affecting us?
Well, the application is essentially what I was talking about just a moment ago, is that we have to recognize that God did not delegate authority to anyone who was going to abuse that authority. And there's a lot of areas, there's people who have authority, but it wasn't delegated by God, and so it's not legitimate. Therefore, it's not you're not required to submit to it.
Okay.
Mafia heads, drug lords, warlords, street gangs, there's always a structure of authority. But we don't submit to those because it's not legitimate authority because it did not come from God. And any authority, listen to this, any authority, even if it's an established authority that goes beyond its boundaries and limitations put on there by God, by being a minister of God for good, have forfeited their allegiance and the requirement to submit to it. And so when we, in this country, we have a constitution. And any time that there's anything that goes against the Constitution, the people who pass laws have essentially broken their oath to God and the people, because every officer in government makes an oath to the Constitution, and when they break that Constitution, they've actually become criminals. They're oath breakers, and people have to realize that even the Supreme Court has established that any law that is contrary to the Constitution as if it had never been passed. In fact, that's what we ended on last time in the Supreme Court case Norton versus Shelby, Shelby County, and that said, an unconstitutional act is not law. It confers no rights, imposes no duties, affords no protection. It creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as inoperative as though it had never been passed. And so when we're looking at the application to our government today, and particularly this administration, we are... Let me put it this way. It's so clear that most of what the government is doing today is not constitutional. Doesn't even come close.
Okay.
And we have been dumbed down over the decades to acquiesce to these unconstitutional laws, immoral laws, and we've acquiesced to the point now to where the government doesn't seem to even consider the Constitution. Now, what does that mean for us? It means that we have to decide, each individual, whether they're going to obey those laws or not. And I am not advocating in any way anarchy. What we should do is put every power to bear on the Constitution, on the politicians to abide by the Constitution. Later on in the book, I get into interposition, which is the concept that the lower magistrates among the states, for instance, should be a buffer between an overreaching federal government and the people. And that is played out in a number of ways, mm-hmm. even today, that we see the movement for nullification. That's someone interposing. It would be one of the government officials that is standing between the people and the tyranny of an out-of-control federal government.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, I think you've answered the question that I've asked, and that is whether or not you believe that the present administration is functioning outside the boundaries
of our
Constitution. Now, as a pastor, I believe I have a responsibility to be a leader, not only in teaching the truth, which would help my congregation to understand that our government is functioning outside the realm of the Constitution. But my concern is that oftentimes, I've been guilty of this, Mike, in my early part of my ministry, of telling people what to do, but never telling them how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So because of your understanding, your expertise in this area, your knowledge in this area, okay, you've indicated that the government is out of control. It's functioning beyond the boundaries of the Constitution. Okay, so I learned that. I'm a member of your church. I learned that. I hear that. Now the question is, Pastor, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? How can I make a difference in all of this? I'm only one person, but how can I make a difference? What do you suggest then that we do to stop this slide that's destroying this nation?
Well, first and foremost, we need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. We don't have to like our leaders, mm-hmm. but we need to pray for them. And the prayer should be directed along the direction of them recognizing that they are way out of the bounds of mm-hmm. the Constitution, and that they are not ministers of God. And they're going to receive on themselves the retribution, the wrath of God mm-hmm. for going beyond that bound. It's no different than a husband or a parent that starts abusing their children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're directly responsible for God and to God for that abuse, and they have boundaries. And that's one of the things that when we were talking about a while ago about God delegates legitimate authority
yes, mm-hmm.
in certain realms.
Mm-hmm.
When you have someone like a mafia head or a straight gang leader, whoever it may be,
sure.
a dictator, they don't recognize those bounds. They are an mm-hmm. authority to themselves.
Sure.
And they are opposed to God, and the people in those cases are not required to submit to that type of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have today. So, but your question was, what are we to do about it?
Yes.
Well, one of the things we do is, first of all, is to pray about our situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, gives the spiritual dynamics mm-hmm. of what people are to do, because we live in the United States, and we are Christians, and we want to live a life that is pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we can't live a life pleasing to God if we comply with the evil dictator
absolutely.
Of a country that's out of control, a government that's out of control. So what we have to do at that point is to consider each decision that we make regarding a government or complying with laws and mm-hmm. so forth has to be done in not just knee-jerk reaction. It's the law, we must obey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to consider that. When we get down to the verses in Romans 13 that deal with obeying the law because of conscience, that's a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Most people only think that, well, we're to obey the law because if we don't, then our conscience will hurt us and we need to mm-hmm. obey.
Yeah.
That's only one side of the coin. There's another side of that coin as well. that we don't obey laws that are immoral.
Sure.
Because if we did, then our conscience as Christians should hurt us as well.
Absolutely.
And so we have to start thinking beyond the impact of the, I don't know where you would call it, brainwashing or propaganda that has been imposed upon us just 24/7 in the society in which we live in. That's what I'm trying to do, is give people the tools to think with as independent people that we should be. And the pastor should be teaching what we're going over here, Romans 13.
Mm-hmm.
Because this passage, these passages they haven't been taught properly.
Mm-hmm.
And the fallout, because they haven't, has been devastating, because most people, most Christians, think that because I'm a Christian, I must obey the government no
yes.
matter
mm-hmm.
what.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in we passed a few chapters that I covered the fact that a lot of Christians understand that they have the biblical right to oppose government on matters of faith. If they came out with a law that said that pastors cannot speak out and say that homosexuality is a sin, because
mm-hmm.
that's going to be a hate crime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In an issue like that, then of course you have to. That's an immoral law.
Sure.
And a lot of Christians understand. I would not obey that law, and I have the biblical right not
mm-hmm,
to do
sure.
so.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But what they don't, where they draw the line is, it's just only matters of faith.
Sure.
When it comes to matters of justice and freedom,
mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
say, oh, well, we have to submit there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, why? Where in the Bible does it preclude us from resisting unjust, unconstitutional, immoral law? We are to resist evil, not comply with it. So I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do.
Sure.
Is if pastors were teaching these verses,
mm-hmm,
and well, in fact, the whole realm of doctrine. This it's not just in Romans 13. We are concentrating here because this is where the Bible most
yes.
specifically addresses the issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But all throughout, you see several examples,
mm-hmm.
numerous examples of people who disobeyed government, and God blessed them for it.
Sure, absolutely.
I
yes.
call it biblical civil disobedience.
Yes,
that's what
yes.
they were doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And people don't know about these things.
Yes.
They just hear the standard lies and
yeah.
propaganda
mm-hmm.
that's put out, and they believe
yeah.
it. So the first step is being educated as to not only what your civil rights are and your rights according to the Bill of Rights in the
mm-hmm.
Constitution, but even higher than that, what are your rights regarding resistance to tyranny.
Yeah, yeah.
And this hasn't been taught, and I think that's a major step in the right direction to throw off tyranny, is to educate the people, because today,
yeah.
what do you call them?
The low information crowd?
Low information crowd.
Yeah.
And that's not just a frivolous phrase.
No, it's not. No.
You know, Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Sure.
People
mm-hmm.
don't know
yeah.
what the Bible has to say, hardly about anything.
Absolutely.
And we are suffering tremendously because
mm-hmm.
of it.
Well, Mike, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question about something you mentioned here earlier. And it has something to do with what I learned from my beloved mentor, Bob Thieme. But there came a point in time when I had to reject, I personally rejected the notion that the United States of America is a client nation. Now, I don't want to have to spend a lot of time on that. I would do that personally or privately out there for anybody. But I rejected that notion, and I hear many, many Christians today quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if we're dispensationally oriented, and we believe that we are the church age, and the United States, in my estimation, is not a client nation. I reject that notion of a client nation anywhere other than the priest nation of Israel. And dispensationally, when I hear others out here, just a jillion of them doing this, quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14, I have to ask myself the question, on what basis, when God is talking to Israel at that point in time, if my people... That's Israel. That's not the church. The church is not a nation. The church is a body of
right.
of born again believers. Therefore, I don't mind praying for the circumstances that we have, that are going on in our country today. But based on that 2 Chronicles 7:14, I feel like that what happens is if I appeal to that, then what I've done is open the door for somebody else to come along and to interpret something else out there, some other part of the Mosaic Law, and apply that to their church wrongly because I appealed to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And you're free to comment on that or just say, hey, we're not going there or whatever. But I'd
no,
like
no, I think you're absolutely correct is that promise was made to Israel, and we have to keep the dispensational distinction.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
But when I mentioned 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm talking about a pattern.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm talking about did something. They had to humble themselves. They had to pray. They had to acknowledge their sins.
Yes.
And they had to look and to God for deliverance. And I'm saying if we as a nation, if the people of this country would start doing that and holding their leaders accountable for the unjust, unconstitutional, immoral things that are taking place, I think that God would notice that and there would be a turnaround. But I'm just, like I said, I'm just talking about a pattern.
Understand, pal.
You're right. He was specifically talking to Israel, and we certainly don't want to fall into any pattern of replacement theology.
Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is that such concepts as prayer and humility, those are grace principles that Paul gave to the church. So there's no
right.
problem with that. And oftentimes, what I do, Mike, I became so aware of the fact that I was appealing to the Old Testament, and yet I was telling people that I'm dispensationally oriented. So what I'm telling people now is that these things in the Old Testament may illustrate, as Paul indicated, will illustrate grace principles in the church. But they're only illustrations, and I'm not appealing to the Old Testament unless there is a grace principle in the Pauline epistles that are going to tell me that, you know, that I'm free to do this.
Right. That promise was not made to the United States. It was made to Israel. But, you know, we're grafted into the tree. That is church age believers.
Absolutely.
And we are not under the Mosaic Law. But there are universal principles that still apply to us, like
absolutely.
The Ten Commandments, and they are all repeated in the New Testament as well, except the one about remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Yeah,
so
right.
we can gain from principles that and promises that God gave to Israel. They weren't made to us, but that we still gain from them. And all Scripture is God breathing profitable for instruction in righteousness and so forth. So
absolutely.
We can benefit from all Scripture, even though it might not be to us, but it can be for us with regarding the illustrations and the things that we can learn from it.
Agreed 100%, pal, and I'm sorry to have taken us off in that direction.
No, that's fine. I don't care what direction we go in, because I'm trying to learn as well as everyone else, and I'm always gratified when we're on the same page.
but
we both could be wrong as well.
Well, be on the same page and both be wrong, huh?
Yeah, well, that's possible.
Well, I understand.
And and this is one thing I would challenge the listeners out there, is if they have another idea or they have something that they think that we have wrong, I don't mind someone coming online. You know, I think they can still call in, can't they?
Well, not at this point in time. The reason they can, Mike, is I've only got one line into the studio. And when you and I are on the phone together, then they can't call in because I don't have the capacity of conferencing right now. As a matter of fact, two weeks ago, I purchased a second line. But what happens is I've not been able to find a way then to get the two telephone calls through my what's called a digital hybrid Innkeeper 1X that actually takes the phone call and enables it to go into my mixer here and send it out to the world. So bottom line is we can't take calls. The only way we could take calls is if in fact you and I Skyped. If we Skype this program, then that would open up the phone line for someone to call in.
Well, people can still email. They have my email.
Absolutely.
They have your email, and they can email us if they have a concern or want to add a point. Or
absolutely.
I just want to have them feel like they're included and can
mm-hmm.
make whatever assertions they want to make, and we're not going to ignore them.
And Mike, we need to be open-minded. And honestly, there is another option, and that is to call for someone to call the program on my cell phone. And I've done this in the past where someone's called on the cell phone, and when they called, I just took my cell phone and put it up against the microphone so that you could hear and the people could hear out there. And I'll tell you what we might do just for experience here. Let me ask Ed Halsband, if you're online, or Dub Blackwood, either one of you, call my cell phone, 501-944-1678. And let's see if this will work, Mike, because I really want people to call in. This is a call-in program. And
because we have two points of view, and there's people out there that might have another perspective that
mm-hmm.
I would like to hear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we'll just have Ed or Dub, whoever wants to call the program. We'll just take one call and we'll put it up here. And if this works, if you can hear the people, then what we'll do is we'll just open the line every day for phone calls to come in through the cell phone.
That would be good, because I like questions. It challenges me.
Oh, absolutely.
Sharp and different points of view,
absolutely.
Just hash them out.
And so when someone calls me, if I don't know the answer, I'm going to say, let's get in touch with Mike.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay. So, Dubber, Ed, either one of you want to call 501-944-1678. We'll take the call and see if Mike's able to hear. Mike, why don't you go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say, if it works, maybe you could put your cell phone number on the email you
sent out. Oh, absolutely.
So they'd have it right there handy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, why don't you pick up with Manzini and tell us what the duties of man are that he tells us about.
Okay, well, we have a quote that says, human laws are only valid and good insofar as they conform to His, referring to God's law, explaining and applying it. They are bad whenever they contradict or disregard it, and it is then not only your right, but your duty to disobey them and abolish them. You have not and cannot have any master but God without being false and rebellious to Him.
Mike, that is an absolutely magnificent statement. Isn't it amazing that how many people in the United States you think understand that or believe that?
I think very few, because what has happened, and it wasn't purposeful, but people have inadvertently put government above God. They think in those terms. They might not ever articulate it in that way, but it's because they have a knee-jerk response when they're told something to do by government. They don't think it through, and they don't even think, well, now, is this pleasing to God? Is this something that is going against my God-given rights? Is this something that's not according to the Bill of Rights? None of that takes place, and so I think what he's done is kind of a wake-up notion for Christians to recognize there is a higher power than government, and we answer to that. We're talking, of course, about God. We answer to Him, and secondarily to government, and we only answer to government when they stay within the bounds that God has put upon them.
Yes.
Our government has the constitutional bounds, but even then, they're still ministers of God.
Sure.
And that has put constraints and bounds upon them, and you can kind of correlate that to the Bill of Rights.
Yes.
And the Bill of Rights is just a partial list the tenth article says
sure,
that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So anytime the government starts to impose and be oppressive or abuse the people, then we need to recognize that we have a higher power to answer to. If they're requiring us to do something that is or to comply with something that is unjust or immoral, unconstitutional, then we are required to think this through and understand that God does not command us to obey, voluntarily submit to tyranny.
Yeah, Mike, we just got a phone call, and I think it came from Doug Blackwood. I'm going to call him back. I tried to put him on hold for a moment, and I actually cut him off, but he did call in. And so let me see if I can get him now. He's probably still on the line. I'm getting a busy signal.
Okay.
Here we go.
This is Doug.
Hey, Doug, that was my fault, pal. I accidentally cut you off. So what I want you to do is, get your speakers on your computer shut down. Close the speakers because we're getting a lot of feedback, Dub.
I can't hear you, Dr. Jim.
Yeah. Okay. We need close down. Just mute your computer because we're getting a lot of feedback.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Good. Okay. Now, why don't you tell Mike who you are, where you live, and maybe how long we've been together. And what I want to do is just see if he's understanding you and hearing you, my friend.
Oh, okay. Mike, I'm J.W. Deb Blackwood, live in Little Rock, Arkansas on Herndon Road. And I've been with Dr. Jim for, I guess it's about 43 years, somewhere in 1971, 70 in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But just enjoy hearing you, Mike, and
well, I hear you loud and clear. Your first name is Dub, is that right?
Yes, right. Go ahead. He's probably not hearing you now, Mike, because he got his computer shut down. He's on the phone with me and will not hear you until he turns his computer back on, until he gets the speakers unmuted, okay?
Well, if he had some earphones, that would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So that we wouldn't get the feedback.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand it completely. But anyway, were you able to hear him, Mike?
I heard him loud and clear.
Were you able to hear him, Mike? I heard him loud and clear.
See, now what happens is he's got his computer back on, and with the phone, with my phone, that's gonna be a lot of feedback. See.
I see.
So on the other end, they've got to learn how to do this to call in also.
Well, we've
got to
train them as we go. In this area, there's a radio station called KCB, and it stands for Keeping Him Close By. And they have a call-in show.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And what they do is have the person call in and talk to the radio station.
It's a screener. And
they would call you and talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And after they ask the question, they hang up, and then I would be able to respond to them.
Yeah,
so
sure enough.
We might work it that way.
Well, yeah, there's a couple of ways to do this, but at this point in time, ain't no screener here but me. I'm all by myself in this in this room. And this is, Mike, this is one of the beauties of this, because when you're looking at modern technology, everybody who comes to it has a frame of reference as to how they think it ought to work. But if we don't break through that kind of nonsense, then what happens is we'll never really, really ever get involved. And I'm telling you, I'm dealing with a guy right now from North Carolina that wants to start a ministry on the internet. And he's coming out of a Baptist background. He's rejected what's happening in the Baptist church. Like 100,000 members left the Southern Baptist Convention last year. 100,000 members. And they can't figure out why, Mike. And so this guy came to me, wants to start an internet ministry because he's opposed to what's going on inside the convention, and yet he's developing an organization, and darned if it isn't another Baptist organization.
Oh, wow.
The whole nine yards, you know, got to have a board and the deacons and the whole nine yards going to tell us how to do things, and we can't. Oh, excuse me. It's an amazing thing that's happening. So what I'm saying here is that many people have an understanding of how you think this thing ought to operate, But man, I'm sitting here in this room, and I got an email, I got a text message here. Thank God for modern technology. Got a text message from Ed Hall's band, Nice in Maryland, said the sound is good. There have been other times when Dub and Ed have called me and said, "Man, turn the music off. We can't hear you because the music's going." So I've got my engineers out there, and it just doesn't. We gotta learn how to work this stuff and to do it in the most simple kind of a way. And I'm always struggling to figure out another way to do it. So anyway, back to you, brother. So we know that somebody could call in using my cell phone and could at least ask a question and then, as you said, get off and listen to the answer.
Yeah, I think that would be. I just would like them to be. I feel like they're more part of it.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And have a way to just address the concerns that they may have. Or,
sure.
Or different perspective, whatever. I
sure.
think it would be beneficial to all of us.
Yeah. Do you have Skype on your computer?
I don't have Skype, but I think if that's something that we need to make this better, I could certainly get it.
I think it's free. It's a free download, and I have used it in the past. Been a long time since I've had anybody call in with Skype, but that is an option, and that opens up the that opens up the line. So anyway, we might, you and I might, at a time when you're free, put Skype on your computer, and we'll give it a shot.
Okay.
Okay. Back to Mancini. Why don't you share that thought he gives me? That is an absolute, a magnificent statement.
Yes, he's got, this is profound.
It is.
This last part where he says, "You have not and cannot have any master but mm-hmm. God without being false and rebellious to him." Mm-hmm. And what I was saying is that a lot of people, inadvertently, they don't even know it has taken place,
sure.
has put government in the place of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And any person that thinks you have to unconditionally submit to government has already done that.
Mm-hmm.
But most Christians are afraid that they're doing something wrong when they resist government, because after all, Romans chapter 13 verse 1 says that that every person be in subjection to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And they take that any person that is in office by the fact that they have de facto power, that God gave them that power, and no matter how they use it, they are obliged to submit to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what the correct understanding of that phrase, and all those, talking about those authorities, all those authorities which exist are established by God, but it's talking about only those legitimate authorities, those
sure.
who are acting as ministers of God for good. That's all in that statement, but you don't get it in just that one verse.
Sure.
You have to
mm-hmm.
read on down
yeah.
to get the gist of it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Mike. As a pastor, you and I dealing with a multitude of people out here, not just our congregation, but the multitude of people that we come in contact with every day. Mazzini says, and it is not only your right, but your duty. He's not just talking to pastors. He's talking to every citizen in the United States. It is not only your right, but your duty to disobey
right.
these invalid laws and then abolish them. I want to come back to that point where he says, but it is your duty. It is your duty to disobey them. Now, mm-hmm. as a pastor, and we're dealing with people, let me just use this term and use it graciously. We're talking to people, many people, who have been dumbed down themselves and are not aware of this concept of being able to disobey, having a right and a duty to disobey these laws. I have a question then. If we as pastors are teaching Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, and we indicate, as Mazzini has said, that people have a duty to disobey and a right to disobey these invalid laws, can I point out, as a pastor, point out the law that is invalid and then tell them, as a congregation, you have a duty to disobey these laws, and then perhaps lead them into that form of disobeying it. Question, do I have that right to do that or not?
Well, you certainly have the right, because the separation of church and state, I probably shouldn't even brought that up because it's such a massive issue.
Yeah, I understand. We'll forget that for a minute. Okay.
Essentially, what I'm thinking of is pastors are responsible directly to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they are to say and do whatever they're led to say and do.
Correct.
Some people say, well, that's, boy, that's pretty pompous declaration there. It's not.
I've had people tell me that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, they say, well, you think you're really something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, actually, every individual is the same way.
Sure enough.
Every individual is directly responsible to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if you have a pastor out there that is teaching false doctrine? What if you have a pastor out there that's misleading the people?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to that church and that takes place. What are they to do? Well, God is not against, God is against revolution. He's against the overthrow of that authority. What they are to do is just leave the church, because God can take care of that pastor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's going to take care of that pastor. And boy, there's a lot of them out there that I wouldn't like to be in their shoes.
I understand.
So, you do have the right to do that. But I quake in my shoes to think that God has given me this spiritual gift that is totally undeserved, and that I would say or do anything that would be contrary to His will, that would be misleading His people.
Absolutely.
Here He's given me this spiritual gift that I don't deserve, and it carries authority, but mainly it carries responsibility.
Absolutely.
That's why I strive to our very utmost to be accurate, because it's not our personality, it's not our delivery,
that's right.
It's not how friendly we are, what we look like, or any of these things.
Mm-hmm.
What the main thing is accuracy and faithfulness.
Absolutely.
And if you decide that this is what you the Lord has led you to do, then you are to do it. And the people then have to make a decision.
Sure
they have to run it through their filter and think, okay, number one, what should they be thinking? Is it biblical?
Mm-hmm.
Is it accurate? And then if it's biblical and it's accurate, then they're responsible to God to accept it or reject it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I'm not trying to tiptoe around.
No, I understand, Paul. No,
questions.
I understand. I understand.
What I've done in the book is I'm not trying to tell people what to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to do is give them the facts so that they can make their own decision.
Absolutely.
As far as a pastor standing in the pulpit and say this person, an elected official, is wrong. This bill is immoral. This bill is unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible gives no mandate for you to submit to this type of evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, that's not telling them what to do. It's just telling them, it's just giving them the facts, and
yes,
that's
mm-hmm.
what they're not getting.
Yeah. Well, Mike,
the facts.
No, go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, I butted in when I shouldn't have, and I thought you were done, and
I'm done.
I stepped
ahead.
On you.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And here again, another peeve that I have about myself and in the past and maybe what I see happening today is I contend that pastors, generally speaking, are telling people what to do, but maybe not how to do it. So that, for example, if I told people that this is a bad law and you have no right and you have a right to disobey it. You have a duty to disobey that. Well, and if I then as a leader step out and I am disobeying that law, then I think that if I tell my people then, you need to follow me and do this, I think I'm wrong for that in the sense that if I'm led of the Spirit to do that, they may not be led of the Spirit to do exactly what I'm telling them. So I think, if I understood you correctly, I think you're absolutely right.
I can't tell my congregation what to do.
Yes.
What I can do is give them the biblical perspective.
Absolutely.
I can give them scriptures. But I'm not just limited to that. I can give them information historically,
mm-hmm,
what Christians
yep.
have done in the past in this country.
Yep.
I can give them quotes of phenomenal
mm-hmm.
people in the past that faced the same issues that we do and what they did. I can give them my opinion of what I see as the biblical perspective. But I don't think that I have the authority to tell them, now, you need to vote for this person, you need to vote this down.
Absolutely.
You need to do whatever. That's invading their privacy. And I have authority as a pastor, but I don't think I have the authority to tell the people what to do. I think what God has pastors do is inform the people, make sure that they have the accurate word of God being disseminated to them,
mm-hmm.
and then God holds them responsible to either accept it or reject it.
Yeah, well, you know, that what that does, Mike, would you agree that by doing this the way that you're talking about it, that you're not telling the people what to do, you're giving them the doctrine, you're giving them the truth, and then they have to decide that this is what they're going to do to follow that. Doesn't that, in its sense, put a tremendous amount of responsibility on the individual believer? To make those decisions. And that's that's fantastic.
That's where it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
Now, what I can say is, thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And I can say, the Lord has told you to do so-and-so, so-and-so. It's not coming from me, and I'm showing you the scripture.
Sure.
This is what the Lord says
mm-hmm.
to do. But I can't force them to do it, and when it comes to areas that it doesn't expressly say, it doesn't cover in the Bible, thus
uh-huh.
saith the Lord. Then if I'm a pastor doing my job properly, then I'm going to give them all the information, biblically, historically, with regard, educate them to have all the facts so that then they can make responsible, educated, informed decisions.
Yeah.
And God holds them responsible for that. And for the people that aren't interested in being educated,
mm-hmm.
and people who are not interested in what the Word of God has to say, He's going to hold them responsible for their decisions anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this whole conversation's awesome, brother.
Okay.
Well, listen, go on to that next paragraph with the United States Constitution and the Bible.
Okay. The United States Constitution and the Bible are similar in some respects, which should come as no surprise since the resource most often quoted by those who formed the Constitution was the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution is the supreme law over the United States of America, as the Bible is the supreme law over all mankind.
Wow.
Now, I need to make some provisos with this.
Okay, sure enough.
First of all, the Constitution is not inspired. The Constitution is, I believe, a great document,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some flaws, but what I was trying to do in this paragraph is to make a comparison that as the Constitution even states that that it is the supreme law of the land in
mm-hmm.
it, and that is in Article. Let's see. Hold on, just a second.
Sure, it's okay.
That's in Article 6, Clause 2, where of the Constitution that says it's the supreme law of the land.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to take just a minute to even qualify that.
Okay.
Because most people, when they talk about the Constitution, they're really talking about the Bill of Rights. Because
mm-hmm.
the body of the Constitution itself is essentially the rules and guidelines and the mechanics of how the government is to work.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bill of Rights actually should have been a separate document.
Hmm.
The Bill of Rights came in as amendments to the Constitution.
Yes.
In fact, there were 12 amendments submitted, and 10 of them were kept, and they are known as the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
But there's tension between the Constitution Constitution, the body of the Constitution being the supreme law of the land, and the Bill of Rights, because, let me say first of all, they should not have come in as amendments. I'll give you a couple of reasons why.
Okay.
They could have been possibly a preamble to the Constitution or something.
Sure.
One reason is because they didn't change anything in the Constitution. They didn't amend anything in the Constitution. Second of all, these rights are God-given rights. And if they come as amendments to the Constitution, amendment can be amended as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that means, in fact, it has. Prohibition was an amendment to the Constitution, and then it was repealed by the another amendment.
Sure.
So what I'm saying is, when I speak of the Constitution being the highest law of the land, what I might even change this and call it the Bill of Rights, because actually it's the Bill of Rights that came from the people that are recognizing that we have God-given rights. And the First Amendment starts out by Congress shall make no law.
Sure.
Now, if the Bill of Rights can restrict and put a check on Congress, and it does it as well on the executive and the judicial branches, then it has to be higher than the body of the Constitution. Are you with me so far?
Absolutely, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that actually it's the Bill of Rights, which is, there's 10 articles to the Bill of Rights, and the 9th and 10th Amendment are so important. The 9th Amendment is essentially telling us that those rights that are enumerated in these articles are not all inclusive. There, we have rights that are not listed here. This is just the rights that we're documenting here, which means that which put the people still in charge, which is the way it should be. And all I'm doing in this paragraph is trying to show that just as the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, the supreme law over the United States. Well, we have another law that's higher than that, and that's the Bible is the supreme law over all mankind. See, that follows Mazzini. What he's talking about is that we have a master, is God alone, and any time, and we have a duty, like you were pointing out earlier, that we have a duty to disobey and abolish anything that comes from government that would abuse our rights.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to make a comparison here that, yes, we do have a Constitution, but the Constitution is not our highest authority. In fact, what we're going to see as well is, we're not going to get to it today, I know, but we don't have a king, we don't have we don't have any person that we answer to in our country as the highest authority. The highest authority of our in our country is not a person, it's a Constitution. And what I was trying to show in this paragraph is that just as that is true for the outworking of our nation, for Christians, actually it's for all of mankind, but Christians recognize that we have a higher power. And that power is God Himself. And these people who are administering government are only doing it as ministers for him, and within his very strict limitations. And that helps us. What all this does is help people see and think that, oh, but just because the government says it, we have to do it. Well, people who think that way have elevated government above God.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask you, I had two thoughts about what you said here that would sort of complement what you said. And the thought that I had was this: when I think of the Bill of Rights and I think of the Ten Amendments, I didn't think in terms of those Ten Amendments changing anything in the Constitution.
Well, they didn't.
but what they did is they were additions. They were simply added in, and in that way, the Constitution was changed from its original from the original manuscript. In the sense that here it was, in the beginning, but later on we had these amendments added in. Now,
well, let me just cut in for a second. The originally, when they were they were going to amend the Articles of Confederation, mm-hmm. But then it turned into essentially a constitutional convention. They mm-hmm. came up with a whole new constitution, mm-hmm. and the people who were forming this constitution, there was a suggestion that there be a Bill of Rights, and it was mm-hmm. Unanimously voted down. They said, no, we're not going to have a Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So then they presented the Constitution to the states for ratification, and mm-hmm. the people threw it right back in their
sure.
face and said, there's no way that we're going to ratify this without a Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so a Bill of Rights was written, and I'm not saying that it didn't change anything in the sense that they did need a Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm,
what I'm saying
yep.
is it mm-hmm. should not have come in as amendments to the Constitution, because mm-hmm. they didn't amend anything in the body of
That's
the Constitution.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, amendments can be changed, and these are inviolable rights that
mm-hmm,
should
mm-hmm.
have come in some other form.
Yes.
But when we speak of the Constitution today, and I do this as well, when even in this paragraph, I spoke of the Constitution being the highest law of the land, but really, to be more specific,
mm-hmm.
it is the Bill of Rights that is the highest law of the land, because they put constraints and restrictions
mm-hmm.
on the government itself, and these are recognizing God-given rights. The Constitution is the body is dealing with the mechanics of government.
Mm-hmm,
so that's
mm-hmm.
the distinction I was trying to
sure.
make.
Sure. Well, but let me ask you this then. If when you make the statement that an amendment can in fact be amended,
uh-huh.
Is it not so that if there is an amendment to the Constitution or amendment to the Bill of Rights, that in fact 2/3 of the states in the United States are going to have to ratify it?
Right. They would have to go through the amendment process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying, those first 10 articles
mm-hmm.
I like to call them articles of the Bill of Rights.
Sure.
I
mean,
they're
mm-hmm.
called amendments, but I like to call them articles because
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying, they should not have been brought in as amendments that can be amended, which it has happened already. Like
sure, absolutely.
Prohibition,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because you cannot amend God-given rights. They're inviolable. Those are those inalienable rights that are mm-hmm. mentioned in the Constitution. In the Declaration yeah. of Independence.
Well, actually, they can be amended. They can be amended, but it would be wrong to do so. Is that
right? You're right. That's the whole point. They can be amended,
mm-hmm.
but they should not have been amendments.
Absolutely,
because man can't amend those rights.
Yes,
but it doesn't change the fact that we still have them.
Absolutely, and the tragedy today is with that Bill of Rights that in a secularized society. Getting away from the Word of God, I would suggest that you know that kind of a possibility is a reality.
Well, absolutely. Well, what's happening today, though, is they're being ignored anyway. I mean, the government is summarily ignoring. When I say the
yeah.
Constitution, I'm talking essentially about the Bill of Rights.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And. They're still, well, I don't know if I have enough time to bring this up, but still, even the people still have the final word in grand juries and trial juries.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a law that was passed that is unjust, immoral, whatever
sure.
it may be, and someone is found guilty, those 12 people have more power than the president, the judicial
yes.
branch, the executive branch, I mean the Congress, because they can vote that person not guilty based on that it was a crummy law to begin
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but how many people know this, Dr. Chan? How many people know that sit on a jury
yeah.
that they can find someone not guilty? They may be guilty of breaking the law, but the law was unjust, and they can have the absolute right, and it's been, even in Supreme Court cases, they have acknowledged this.
Yeah, Mike, I think...
In fact, Shelby and Norton that I mentioned
mm-hmm,
earlier
mm-hmm.
recognizes that.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got an indication of something similar to that. I'm not sure how it'll be when all the facts come out, but how about the whistleblower on the NSA that actually fled to fled to China, went to Hong Kong because of the ramifications of him being a whistleblower on something that the government had done wrong.
Indictment upon the way that the country
absolutely
is operating, that someone stands up for their rights and they expose corruption and they stand for righteousness,
yes,
and they have to flee the country.
Flee the country,
fear.
Yeah, sure enough. And they're talking about now him being indicted for not treason, but there's another word that they're using today. Well, anyway, I'll tell you what, pal. Once again, we're out of time. So why don't you pray, and we'll get ready to come back with any nation or individual that ignores the Bible. We'll come back right there next week and continue on, pal. Thanks for being with us again, Mike.
Well,
go ahead and pray.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir, buddy.
All right. Father, we come to you again. We recognize that we are in desperate straits, mm-hmm, as a country. We as individuals have been bombarded with so many lies and,
mm-hmm,
falsehoods that our only hope is to cling to your word and to be able to think clearly, doctrinally, as independent men that you have made us to be. We just pray that you will help us to absorb this information, that we can line up our decisions and our thinking with your word, and that we will not be afraid, that we will be able to stand for righteousness and be good and faithful servants. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
You know, Mike, I've just shut down my recording, but the thought that came to me while you were praying, that one of the tragedies of this day, and when we begin to ask ourselves, why are people buying these lies? The Colonel taught us a long time ago that without a doctrinal frame of reference, we stand in jeopardy of buying the lie and becoming a part of the problem rather than a part of the solution. It's simply because we don't have a doctrinal frame of reference, and that's
absolutely
editorial.
And see, doctrine, it,
yeah,
goes to every area of life,
yeah,
including a relationship of a Christian with their government, and the
absolutely
pastors have not been, they've been totally neglectful in properly teaching their congregations what,
yeah,
that proper role is.
Yeah. Well, okay, brother. Keep on keeping on. We'll be back again next week if the creek doesn't rise.
Thanks again for having me, Dr.
Okay, Dan. Buddy. Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye.